Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Oh, yes. Thank you, big voice in the sky. This is week 11. This is the Locks Podcast. I am joined, as I am always, each and every week to break down our favorite picks against the spread, over-unders, and the likewise. We're also going to break down the biggest games of the weekend. Tom Fornelli, Barton Simmons. Gentlemen, how are we feeling here on this Thursday morning?
I'm feeling like Kevin Sumlin after a push last week.
Ooh, Lock, first ever push in the history of Lock Unity, right?
Yeah, it's a
historic occasion.
It's a historic occasion. Texas A&M plus 15 with the Lock Unity call. And Barton, we were calling it the Spectrum of Sumlin.
Spectrum of Sumlin, the perfect Spectrum of Sumlin game.
You start hot.
Convinced not only are you going to win the game, definitely going to cover, and definitely going to keep your job by the end of the first quarter. And then by halftime, one block punt later, you're probably going to lose the game, definitely going to lose the cover, and probably going to lose your job.
But then Nick Starkle gets us back into cover town, or at least push. I think it was a later score, or did Auburn just push it all the way?
No, I think they sniffed around a little bit in the second half, though. I think Starkle did a lot of his damage in the first half. But there was definitely we definitely got back into the Sumlin's, may not keep his job, but he's at least going to cover this game.
Right.
And then it was, we're definitely going to lose the cover, definitely going to lose the game, and definitely going to lose the job. And then ultimately, with Kevin Sumlin, of course, you meet somewhere in the middle.
I don't know about you guys, but after that roller coaster, I think I'm off A&M for the rest of the season. I don't think I can take it. I don't want to deal with that.
Who knows what their motivation is like at this point, right? They don't really have anything to play for Sumlin certainly has something to play for, but it'll be hard to figure out how much they care the rest of the way for sure.
All right. To recap, last week, A&M, as we mentioned, was the push. Barton, a strong week. We did include our audit. Would we say week two, I think, was where we were one off, but you still have a commanding lead. Plus 17 on the season. Hit on Miami VT under. Hit on Vandy minus 10. Hit on NC State plus 8. Hit on Oklahoma plus 2.5. The USC Arizona over was beautiful.
I was
cashing 73 late in the night, and then UCF minus 14.5. That one did not cover.
That was a heat check. I knew that was probably a bad pick, but you got to stick to your guns. That was my heat check, and I'll take the L.
5-1-1. Tom with a push on Texas A&M and a push week. Though the Army Air Force under was beautiful. You know, Army.
Yeah,
Army
I only wish I'd made it like three times the lock.
Made it a triple lock? I don't know if we can do that. We'll look into that next year.
Put multiple units on it?
Yeah.
To catch Barton this year, I think we should both be allowed to make like 10 times locks, so each win would count as 10 games.
Well, remember the rules of the Locks Podcast. It's minimum of 3, no max. So if you want to trot out here with a 20-game card, you can catch him.
We'll have to go to the rules committee in the off season and see if you can make a multiple unit play on one game.
It's Miami Virginia Tech under cashed, but the Michigan Minnesota over. Wait, yeah, Michigan Minnesota. Oh, Michigan Minnesota
overcashed.
Yeah. We need to check PricewaterhouseCooper bookkeepers. All right, so you were up, so you were plus 11 on the season. Chip cashed on Florida Missouri under 61 when it was 61.5. Sweet. UCF UConn under cashed, but other than that, it's just L's. Arizona plus 7.5, Texas plus 7, UCF minus 14.5, and then the Texas A&M push minus 1 on the week, back to minus 2, 19 points off the pace. I can.
So the question is, Chip, yeah, after an 8-play week that didn't quite go according to plan, how many do you have this week?
We'll see. I will reveal my total card as the show goes on. But I did have. We had a players only meeting. The staff met with the athletic director, and I think that I had to channel my spirit animal, Paul Johnson, because Paul Johnson doesn't care whether he's up by 14 or down by 21. The offense is going to run the same way. You know, you just got to stick to it. And I'm not
still just whispering in the wingback's ear.
Yeah.
Sending them in to call the play.
Yeah. We just got to keep trying, you know, we got to keep trying the dive, you know, we got to keep trying to run the counter and the power. And, you know, I've got 7 this week, but it's not like I was stretching myself for 7. I feel good that I kept it within the process for this week. So I'm feeling good about that. Tom, are you going heavy to try and chase Barton?
No, I've only got 5 picks for this week. But if I could just take a moment to send a shout out to PJ Fleck.
Shout out PJ Fleck.
For that Michigan-Minnesota over. Because you see, Minnesota was losing 33-7. In like the last 2 minutes of the game, and on a 4th and short, instead of, you know, trying to go for a first down and get a meaningless touchdown, PJ Fleck decided to be elite and kick a meaningless field goal instead, and that field goal is what pushed that game over.
Hey Tom, wasn't at one point at like 33-7 and like early in the third quarter or something, and Michigan had the ball inside the 5?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
It looked like a super easy over early in the third quarter, and then they didn't score there, and nobody scored for like the next 25 minutes until that meaningless Minnesota field goal.
I remember looking up at that with like the 33-7, Michigan had the ball inside the 5, and I just checked it off, said, well, there's a cover for Tom.
Yeah.
And then I looked up, you know, an hour later, and it's still 33-7. I said, what the hell happened? So I was pleased to see Fleck take care of you late in the game there.
Oh, he's a hero forever now.
a cover hero forever. All right, Barton, you've got the honors. Lock me up.
We're picking locks.
My blue plate special 5-star locks are coming.
Come get these locks.
5-star master lock. Lock it up.
You want these locks?
I'm living and dying every point, every cover. All right, I'm going to go. So this week I'm playing some underdogs. There's some plays this week that are going to take some guts, I think, that I'm nervous about, and yet I feel confident they're the right side of the play. I'm going to get to those, but the one I feel is sort of the favorites that I feel confident in and comfortable in is USC -13.5 against Colorado. That's the one I'm hoping I don't have to sweat out. I think USC is... they've sort of survived the, I don't know what you want to call it, the war here, like the war of attrition. They fought some battles, they lost some men, and here they are on the back end, and they're about to start sort of getting things, getting their ducks back in the order, making their late season run to look good, to maybe win a Pac-12 championship, to maybe back themselves into a college football playoffs opportunity at least. I just think that, you know, Sam Darnold's playing better. He's still got to take care of the football, but I don't think Colorado is really, I mean, I just don't think they're a very good football team this year. So I think this is a spot where USC continues to get right. I mean, we've seen in the last couple weeks after that Notre Dame game, they killed Arizona State. They really took care of Arizona. I mean, yeah, Arizona scored some points late, but Khalil Tate is going to do that. They put up 49 points. I think they put up another big spot here against Colorado, and I don't have the same confidence in Colorado to score points as Arizona did. I think they win easily and continue to like, by the end of the year, we're going to think USC is one of the best teams in college football like we did last year, despite a couple losses early in the year. So I'm going to go USC covering 13.5 and doing it easily.
I'm on it too. Yeah. I don't know if you've talked me into this. Like if it's, but I'm right there with, I feel like USC, not only this week, but I think USC will blow out UCLA next week. and go into that weird November 25th bye week with really good feelings about the way it is as a 10-2 football team that's going to have a shot in early December. And whether that's a shot to win the Pac-12 championship and end up, you know, playing in a New Year's Six bowl game, or whether that's a chance to somehow hope for chaos and get into the playoff. I thought they took care of business against Arizona. Like that was a pretty impressive win, I think, especially to be able to put Arizona away early. And I love the hook. I love the hook here. I'm a little nervous that it hasn't gotten like the Las Vegas bet up to like 14 or 14 and a half. But yeah, 13 and a half, Sam Darnold against a Colorado team that I haven't been really impressed with this year. I'll give it.
Yeah, I mean, it's in Boulder. I mean, Colorado, I don't know. Like, when has Colorado really looked impressive? I guess against Cal?
Against Arizona. Just... Honestly, like when the fact that they hung in that shootout with Arizona, where like Philip Lindsay ran for like 250 or something like that. Like, Steven Montez right. is a good quarterback. Philip Lindsay's a good running back. But, you know, they don't have a lot of the horses, or I guess the buffalo that they did on defense from a year ago.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
And one thing to keep track of too, I mean, I've also got USC covering. I'm not making it a lock, but it's just, we talked about it so much early in the year. Sam Darnold with the interceptions early in the season, you know, through the first six games, he had 12 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Over the last four games, Darnold's thrown 10 touchdowns and only has 2 interceptions. So he seems to have reined things in a little bit. And I feel like you're much more confident in USC to cover a spread like that now that Darnold's not turning the ball over so often.
Just hand the rock to Ronald Jones. That's winning time, baby. Let's pound it. All right, Tom, what you got?
So, was yours a lock
I'm on it. Like that's one of my seven.
All right.
Oh, we got 2/3 lock unity.
I know. All right, Tom.
My first lock is Georgia -2.5 at Auburn.
Wow.
I know you're both on Auburn, and I just have a question for you both. As far as that's concerned, what exactly, I've seen it a lot of places. I heard it from you guys earlier this week on the podcast. I saw Dennis write about it earlier this week at CBSSports.com. What exactly has Auburn actually done to convince you guys that it's suddenly good enough to beat either of those teams?
I'm less confident in Alabama than I am. And by the way, not a lock. It is my pick for the expert picks. And, you know, when anyone's asking me my pick for the game, but I think that a little bit is just a bet on SEC being weird, maybe. Like, it just like it, Auburn's defense is worth trusting, and Georgia has not had to face a defense like that since Notre Dame.
Listen, I'll get into this because we have we've got a lock conflict.
Uh-oh.
Here.
I think the odds makers got this one perfect. So y'all, I'm out of this one. Just y'all, I'm gonna play Switzerland.
y'all,
yeah, dude. I don't want any part of this. All right, so all right, y'all, go for it.
I'm on. Yes. Yeah, so here's my thought process. First of all, it's at Auburn, okay, which is not an easy place to play. It is, I think, really the first. Like, Georgia is going to go into Auburn with all of the pressures of being number one, and Auburn is going to be like the underdog here with a fan base that's going to be like rabid for this game. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. And ultimately, like, this is, I think, the toughest test Georgia's faced since Notre Dame. Because I think one of my big issues with both Georgia really and Alabama is I look at Ohio State and I look at Ohio State, how they ran through their schedule and then they played two good teams and they almost lost to Penn State and they lost to Iowa. Georgia is a good team. I think they're a really good team, but ultimately I think Mississippi State was impressive, but I'm not going to give you a ton of credit for beating up on Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Florida. And I think when you go into Auburn, Jordan-Hare Stadium, and you have a defense, a front seven for Auburn, that's going to absolutely test your run game like it hasn't been tested since Notre Dame, and you force Jake Fromm to make some plays, and he might be able to do it. I'm not saying he can't, because he is one of the more confidence-inspiring freshmen, but ultimately he hasn't really had to, even against South Carolina last week. They were just, like Gary Danielson said it, like they were just dinking it. Like South Carolina was giving him those underneath routes. I think Auburn would test him. I think he'll challenge him more. And look, I think Georgia is a better team than Auburn, but I don't think that they – I feel like this is a spot where, A, they can lose and still have everything in front of them, and I think that it's just going to be too tough of a scenario to come out of there with a W. It's going to be a great game. My biggest hang-up is just I think Kirby and his staff is better than Gus Malzahn and his staff. So that worries me.
Yeah,
but
and
beyond
I think
that, I like Auburn.
I think that's one of my bigger concerns, too. It's just I've seen Auburn trip over its own feet too many times in games like this. It did so just a couple weeks ago against LSU, which, you know, it's one of the better teams it's faced this year. It got in its own way and ended up losing to LSU. And offensively against Clemson earlier in the season, whereas obviously Clemson's got a great defense, but I felt like Auburn's play calling was problematic for them in that game as well, and it caused them to struggle. And this is another really good defense that Auburn's going against. And just based on the trends of what we've seen this year, Auburn has a really hard time scoring points against good defenses. And that concerns me. And it's just with the history, I mean, looking at trends in this series, first of all, Georgia's 7-0 against the spread in its last seven games on the road. Auburn's 1-4 against the spread in its last five home games against a team with a winning record. The favorite in this rivalry is 6-1 against spread in the last 7 years, and that includes Georgia covering the spread five of the last six meetings. So just historically, even when Auburn has been probably the better team a few of those years, Georgia's done better against the spread in this game than Auburn has, and I just don't have any faith in this coaching staff. And from what I've seen of this Auburn team, to think that even at home they're going to beat this Georgia team, because I just have more confidence. I mean, Auburn's defense is spectacular. Georgia's defense is spectacular. Maybe if we were geniuses, we'd both be taking the under in this game more than anything.
That's what I was going to say. So 47 points, you know, in the last two games combined between these two teams, they've scored 51 points. In the last two meetings, three of the four team totals passing have been under 100 yards. Which is crazy to think that only, you know, only one team in the past four meetings has thrown over 100 yards. So there's a lot to like in the under. I don't feel great about this. I think it's the right side, but I'm not super confident in it. And I played it for lack of many other plays that I felt great about. So I'm nervous about it. And honestly, like you said, I maybe I should just be playing the under instead.
I think maybe I should just be playing the under too.
You guys,
did we just both talk ourselves into out of a lock fight and into a lock unity?
Wow, look at I think the country as a whole could take a little lesson from what happened here between Martin and I.
Take me off Auburn. Give me the under.
All right,
I'm gonna give me the under too. Yeah. Look at that. Hands across America, folks, working out our differences.
All about. All right. Auburn and Georgia under.
The Great Compromise Part 2.
Divisiveness reaching is over. They've reached across the aisle and they've come to a consensus that is truly beautiful.
Bipartisan agreement.
Bipartisan agreement on the Auburn-Georgia under. Auburn in its last five games against top 10 opponents, 0-5, averaging 12.6 points and 232 yards of offense.
Woo!
I'm so conflicted with Auburn because you mentioned the LSU game, and it's a fair point, but you look at that game and Auburn managed to lose it, but you also look at that game and Auburn was clearly the better team. And it's like, does the good team that Auburn can be sort of break through in this game and actually put it all together? Ultimately, I don't have enough faith in that. That's why I'm going to take the under instead. But I just like they're capable. Like Auburn is very capable of winning this football game. And I think just like you said, Chip, sort of just betting on the SEC not going according to plan, it makes sense to me that they would. But I'm going to I'm going to back off.
And Georgia's already got the SEC East locked up. Like, a loss here, yeah, hurts, but how much does it hurt? Georgia would still have everything. And not that that shouldn't at all factor into the motivation, but if you're betting on, like, the weird ways that the SEC turns, Jordan-Hare is often a spot where weird happens. That birds flying around, can't trust anything.
I just think Auburn's saving the weird for the Iron Bowl.
Oh, I hope not. I don't want that. That'd be
you don't.
That'd be too much. Uh-oh. Maybe too much to handle.
You're such a huge Alabama fan.
Speaking of, let's keep it in the SEC, where I am locking up Alabama minus 14.
Oh man, I am feeling awfully feisty today. We're gonna have another lock conflict here, lock fight.
I'm not getting off my side. By the way, I'm going hard.
I've got this game in my locks as well, but not on either side of the spread.
Oh wow, a lot of action here.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Chip, you're up first.
Last year, Nick Fitzgerald, this was his worst performance. I think that they have. I think Alabama's got the recipe to be able to keep this from getting too dangerous at all. And I think that they use the blueprint from the Georgia-Mississippi State game. And they just say, look, this Mississippi State defense is not going to be able to keep us from running the ball, especially for a Alabama ground game that was kind of beat up a little bit by LSU. I think LSU's defense, the way it played on Saturday night, is much better than almost anything I've seen from Mississippi State's defense. And so I see this being a get right game for Damian Harris. I see this being the kind of game where Mississippi State maybe gets to like 14, you know, maybe they pop a big play or two, but I don't see a lot of long, I don't see enough explosive plays for Mississippi State to be able to not end up getting beat like 35-14.
All right. My counterpoint, as I am on Mississippi State. And what do we have at the line out here?
I got 14.
All right. 14, yeah.
So I'm at Mississippi State plus 14. And this is a big boy week for me here. This is a roll up your sleeves and make some tough decisions week. And this is a tough decision because absolutely, I can see Alabama blowing out anybody, and Mississippi State is no exception. But I think that Mississippi State is a really good team at home. This atmosphere is going to be awesome. Alabama, I think it's so often we just say next man up for Alabama, and for good reason, because they have guys no one else has sitting on the bench. But I think this injury situation that they're facing right now is unlike anything Nick Saban has ever faced in Tuscaloosa. They've got their two starting pass rushers have been out for the year, which is no big deal at this point, except for now you've got two other starting linebackers that are out for either the year or at least a significant amount of time in Mac Wilson and Sean Dion Hamilton. You have Minka Fitzpatrick, who sounds like he's banged up. And that's if he goes on to miss significant time in this game or is limited, that's going to be a significant factor because he's probably their best player, period. And a team like Mississippi State that does give you some trouble in the quarterback run game, where you do have to fit the run game well, there's opportunity for some big plays when you've got potentially true freshman Dylan Moses in there, who's talented, but he's a true freshman. And guys like Jamie Mosley in there who haven't played the kind of meaningful role that some of these other guys have in the past. I just think there's some vulnerabilities here at Alabama. And I also think, despite the injury thing, I mean, I've been saying this since spring or summer, that on Alabama's schedule, this game is one to watch. And I think, you know, back in the spring, Alabama fans would laugh you out of town when you say something like that. But now we're here, and Mississippi State is a pretty good team, and they do have a chance. They do have a lot to play for here. And I just think they're going to be ready. I think last week against UMass, if anything, it makes me feel better about this because it tells me how much they're looking over UMass into this game. And so Alabama has just, they've looked very human. to me and against decent teams. And this is a probably to me the fourth best team in the SEC. And I think the fourth best team in the SEC can keep it within two scores, two touchdowns. So I'm going State.
Mm. What do you think, Tom? What's your side?
Well, my initial inclination was Alabama minus 14 based on a few things, but mostly it was how Mississippi State performed earlier this year against Georgia and Auburn. Now, both of those games were on the road, but, you know, it lost to Georgia by 28 and then it lost to Auburn by 39. And I've just had this feeling about Mississippi State all year where it's the fourth best team in the SEC, but there's still a pretty decent gap between it and the top three. And then there's still a huge gap between number three and the top two in my mind. But what Barton brings up was one of the reasons why I couldn't really pull the trigger on Alabama minus 14 is just with those injuries on defense and just the fact that Alabama this year, I mean, as I wrote in the Fornelli 50 on Wednesday, it's the best team in the country according to my formula and my rankings, but it's not a juggernaut team this year, at least compared to years past. Like right now, Alabama's number one in my rankings, but at this time last year with the same score that it has, it would be ranked fourth in the country behind itself, Clemson and Washington. It's just not as dominant as a team, so it's hard for me to really feel too confident in it covering the 14 against a Mississippi State team that is not a pushover, which is why, in the end, my lock is going under 51.
Mm.
Because in my mind, Chip, like you said, I don't think Mississippi State's going to have enough explosive plays to really score too many points. So I'm thinking 14 might be their ceiling in this game. But on the other side of that coin, Alabama knows, Nick Saban knows his defense is banged up. The depth on that side of the ball is being tested. So what I'm expecting Alabama to do this week is to control the ball.
Ooh,
We're going to see a lot of runs, yeah, a lot of long, slow possessions in order to keep that defense off the field as much as possible and rested for dealing with Nick Fitzgerald and that offense just trying to pound you endlessly. So I think when you put those two things together, and I feel like the under is very safe. I see an Alabama 31-14 kind of win, which, yes, would be a cover for Alabama, but I'm just not nearly as comfortable in picking the cover for the Tide as much as I am in the under. And if we want some trends,
let's trend it.
Last 18 years between these two teams, unders come through 14 times. So that's 18, a pretty good rate.
Eight. How many coaches is that?
That is
four combined coaches, five combined coaches, something
like
that.
Five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kroom wasn't there that long.
Well, dang.
I agree. Like to your point too about Alabama not being as good this year as, like, that's another reason why, like, both Mississippi State and Auburn in these spots is, I think I've come to the conclusion, I think we talked about it some this week, Chip, is just that this is not, you know, some giant and a bunch of dwarves below. Like, this is a much more even national playing field than probably maybe the last couple years. I mean, Alabama can lose, Georgia can lose, Notre Dame can lose. Like, these are all teams that are very similar, and there's not like a huge difference to me beyond the top six or seven. So I'm having a hard time seeing Alabama go undefeated this year, honestly. They may win a national title. I'm having a hard time seeing them go undefeated.
Mm, or they could go undefeated and then lose in the SEC championship game.
Ooh. Yeah, they could. Yeah,
and get in the playoff anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Barton right now at USC minus 13.5, Auburn under 47, Mississippi State plus 14, Tom, Georgia under 47, Bama, Mississippi State under 51. I've got USC minus 13.5, Alabama minus 14. Tom, you're up.
For my next lock, we're going to South Beach, mm-hmm, where the Catholics and convicts are meeting yet again. And I'm taking Notre Dame minus 3 on the road against Miami. Sorry, Miami. I know that you're back because you beat Virginia Tech last week, but I don't think you're quite as back as you think you are. For me, this is just a matchup nightmare for Miami. If you look at the Miami defense, overall, it's been solid, but using S&P+, Miami's run defense is actually ranked 82nd in the country. That's not really something you want going up against Notre Dame's offense, which is ranked by the same metric number two in the country. The only, you know, behind only Oklahoma's rushing attack, which I was kind of surprised by. Just side note, to see Alabama had the best run rush offense in the country. But anyway, so I just look at this as a case where Miami's defense is not going to be able to stop Notre Dame. I think Brandon Wimbush and Josh Adams are both going to have a very good day. We saw last week in the game against Wake Forest, Wimbush and Notre Dame kind of, you know, they started featuring Wimbush as a passer more, which was good. And I think something that they need to do going forward if they're going to not just get to the playoff, but have a realistic chance of getting to the title game and possibly winning it. But I don't think they're going to need it this week. I think they're going to be able to run the ball well enough against Miami on their own that they won't need to worry too much about passing. And on the other side of the ball, I'm just not completely sold on Malik Rozier. I know he had a good game against Virginia Tech.
Did he?
I still, well, they won.
Yeah, I mean, they won, but
he had some key plays.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great game overall.
Some key plays with his legs. He's a gamer. He's a playmaker, but he also makes some pretty bad mistakes.
Yeah, so I see this being a case where Miami's not going to get blown out, but I think it's going to be a pretty safe two-score kind of cover for Notre Dame.
Tom, our interests are aligned this week. I am also on the Fighting Irish. You guys hear me?
Yeah. I got you. Yeah, I was just writing it down.
My audio kind of went kooky there for a second. So I'm also on the Fighting Irish. Part of my deal here is I look at what Notre Dame's done to date, and like USC was biggest game in college football that week, or one of them, and Notre Dame blew them out. NC State, Notre Dame, one of the biggest games on the slate that weekend. Notre Dame came in and took care of business. Georgia, Notre Dame, one of the biggest games on the slate that weekend, and Notre Dame lost, but played well and you know, early in the season, it was I thought a performance that was commendable, for lack of a better word. My point is, this is a spot here coming into Miami that I think Notre Dame is going to feel very comfortable in. At this point in the season, a big game doesn't give this team any pause. I think this team is going to be really focused, motivated. I think they're going to come in with a good mentality. I think that they are – I mean, last week against Wake Forest was the offense – was clicking, the defense gave up just sort of some late game points. I think it was kind of a walkthrough game for them. And meanwhile, Miami's coming off this sort of emotional win where everyone was counting them out against Virginia Tech. They proved people wrong, and now they're ranked up closer to where they, quote, should be ranked. I think they get taken down a peg or two this weekend. You know, I was thinking more on the Miami side earlier in the week, and then I just sort of started going through the personnel.
Oh, yeah, that's where you get it, when you start to look at the depth chart.
Yeah, because Notre Dame, like, that offensive line speaks for itself. Brandon Wimbush, Josh Adams, like, those are guys offensively, I think, that compose a problem for Miami. And I think defensively for Notre Dame, it's more of just a cohesive unit that's gonna create some tough decisions for Malik Rozier. So, long story short, I like Notre Dame here. I saw it at -2.5. This is -3. I'll take that too. But I feel the deeper we get into the week, the better I feel about Notre Dame in this spot.
That Notre Dame defense has played. Like, the key player, like Jerry Tillery, Niles Morgan, Trumbetti, Greer Martini,
Drew Tranquil.
I saw this week, like, Niles Morgan's played in like 48 games. And every one of them, for the most part, has been like against quality competition. The experience of Notre Dame's defense makes sense for me as an explainer for how they have been really, really solid, but yet you're not always seeing like one name or one player, or you're not always catching like one guy as the star of that group.
Yeah.
A fun thought exercise that just came to me while we were discussing these games. You know, Notre Dame's only loss this year is that 1-point loss to Georgia. Okay. Well, let's just pretend for a minute that Notre Dame won that game 20-19. Clearly, at this point, with its record and its resume, it's at number one.
Right.
But where's an 8-1 Georgia whose best win is Mississippi State ranked?
It's a good call.
Is that, I mean, are all of a sudden are like Miami and Wisconsin a couple spots higher? I mean, it's like, it's just a weird thing to think about.
Well, and that's exactly, I mean, going back to our Georgia game, like that's exactly why I'm saying that this SEC schedule can really, I think, create some like issues with how we perceive teams. I think the SEC is just that bad below the top four or five teams.
All right. So both of you on Notre Dame -3. Let's go to Ohio State, Michigan State. Does anybody have a play here?
I don't have a lock, but I'm pretty sure I know where you're going, and I agree.
Under.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, no. You're on the Ohio State to cover, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so am I. But that's not my lock. My lock here is under 54.5. Too many daggone points for this game. Do we think Michigan State can put up 25 points? 21 points?
I'm not putting anything past this Ohio State team anymore. They could be anybody. Iowa's offense hasn't looked like. Give me a game where Iowa's offense has looked impressive.
Illinois crushed them.
All right,
go. So you're
my point exactly. Like,
so you're
like they just made that Iowa team look like an absolute juggernaut, and. So, but that doesn't feel like who Ohio State is. And you're going to tell me that Nick Bosa getting kicked out in the second quarter has that kind of an impact on the game? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to think about this Ohio State team anymore.
So you're just running away?
Losing your left tackle has a big impact on the game.
Mm.
For Ohio State?
Yeah.
As an impact, I mean, well, Jamarco Jones was, he came back in, didn't he? A and B, how does that affect the defense that gave up 55 points?
I don't know. I'm just saying it was for a while the offense couldn't do anything because it didn't have its left tackle, and Iowa's offense just kept getting back on the field quickly. But no, my thought process is I like the under, but as far as just the spread is concerned, first of all, I have not been a believer in Michigan State all season. So that's part of my thought process. This is a team that I feel like, you know, that kid you went to school with that like graduated but did just enough to get by.
Don't know who you're talking about,
but I feel like that's this Michigan State team where it's winning but it's just doing the bare minimum to win the game, and I don't think that this Ohio State team is going to lay an egg 2 weeks in a row. I have a feeling coming back home, and by the way, you know, this is Michigan State team that really hasn't been as good on the road as it has been at home this year. I just think going back home, this is after that loss last week, I feel like we are going to see Ohio State come out and play the best game it's played all year. Now, I don't know if it does that the rest of the season, but I'm just saying, I feel like this week we're going to see Ohio State be the team we all thought it was in the preseason when we had it picked to win the Big Ten and get to the playoff and maybe win a national title. I just have a feeling that's coming on Saturday.
Wait, so just to be clear, who is on what here?
I'm on Ohio State, Michigan State under 54.5 because four of the last six times that these two teams played, neither one got to 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're not on a play, right?
I'm not. I'm kind of with you, Barton. I don't want to touch Ohio State to cover or not cover. My pick is Ohio State, but I'm terrified of trusting them as a team. I am more confident in predicting the way that this game is going to go.
Of all the plays, I would lean the under here as well because I just think these two teams and D'Antonio and you know, I don't know, maybe. I haven't looked at the history here, but it feels like in this game, usually like a grinded out close game.
17-16 a year ago, 17-14 the year before that, 49-37 in 2014, but then in 2012, 17-16. 2011-10-7.
There is an element of Michigan State here. I get what you're saying, Tom, but like they also, I mean, Brian Lewerke threw for 400 yards last week against Penn State. I wonder if they're starting to settle in a little bit offensively. If they get a pass game going, if they, you know, if you can no longer just stack the box and stop the run, you know, I don't know. They still only scored 27 points last week, but yeah. I just wonder if they've gotten in a little bit of a groove here later in the season.
Maybe, but if you just look at how Michigan State's done on the road, it beat Michigan 14-10 in that downpour in which Michigan had like five turnovers. It beat Minnesota by 3 points, and then it lost to Northwestern in triple overtime. It's like every time Michigan State goes on the road, not the same team it is back at Spartan Stadium.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, if it's, you know, maybe if it's a tight game, maybe that would benefit me. But, you know, you don't want it to be too tight. You want it to be comfortable. Like... MeUndies. MeUndies makes feel-good undies that your butt will be proud to wear. They're the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own, and to check it out for yourself, go to MeUndies.com/CFB. It's easy. We are your favorite college football podcast, so you just go to MeUndies.com/CFB. They got tons of styles and patterns to choose from for both men and ladies, so MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personalities. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched, because they use a naturally soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. So for a limited time only, you not only can get in on this with free shipping and 20% off, but for a limited time, you can get the first ever glow-in-the-dark print. It's called Lights Out. Go check it out. So why not update your underwear drawer? And you know what? If underwear isn't your thing, MeUndies also makes the softest socks in the world. So to get 20% off on the best, softest underwear and socks you will ever own, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/CFB. That's MeUndies.com/CFB.
I'm wearing mine right now.
Stunting in his MeUndies. Okay.
That's right.
To review, Barton is on the Trojans -13.5, Auburn, Georgia under, Mississippi State +14, Notre Dame -3. Tom got Georgia, Auburn under, Bama, Mississippi State under 51, Notre Dame -3. Chip, Ohio State, Michigan State under, USC -13.5, Alabama -14. Barton, back to you.
Okay, this is my fifth and final play of the week, unless I get a wild hair and something catches my eye here by the end of the show. My play, this is a grown man week. This is adult decisions week. My latest adult decision is Iowa State +6.5. I am terrified to do this because I just worry about picking a grinded out team against a team that can score 50. Because what if the team scores 50?
Right.
you know, then it's going to be hard with the grinded out team to keep up. But there's just so many reasons why this makes sense to play Iowa State. I mean, they held West Virginia to 20 last week, so and I think shut them out in the second half. So they can do this. They've already taken care of Oklahoma and Iowa and TCU. They have everything to play for. Oklahoma State has nothing to play for. Oklahoma State's out of the college football playoffs. They are. If they're out of the Big 12 championship contention. Meanwhile, if Iowa State wins this game, they're in the Big 12 championship game. Well, I mean, assuming they take care of business the rest of the way. So I don't know. Statistically, mathematically, I don't know if Oklahoma State's out, but they look out. And this is at home. This is a huge game at home. This is a game that... And this is a team that's been pretty good against Oklahoma State. Like they covered last year. They covered 2 years ago. They've, you know, 35-31, 38-31. Like they play these guys close even when they're not very good. And I think this is a different team. They're better coached. Oklahoma State, that's a big emotional, high-paced loss last week that they've got to recover from now and go on the road two aims at 11 a.m. Central Time and try to figure out a way to win. And I just think emotionally, psychologically, it's going to be a lot to deal with, and Iowa State's going to have a better, you know, be more grounded, more ready for this game. So I'm going to go Iowa State plus 6.5. You know, buy the hook if you can. And I'm just going to, you know, grit and bear it and hope they pull it out.
That's the that is a grown man play. That's eating your spinach right there.
That's right.
That's turning down the that's giving up red meat during the weekdays so that you can improve your health and your blood pressure right there. I'm not on it, but I'm impressed. I'm really impressed.
There is some good news for you, Barton. You're worried about Oklahoma State scoring 50 points. Well, the Cowboys do average 50 points a game at home, but on the road, they're only scoring 41.4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 41 might worry me too.
I also picked Iowa State plus 6.5. I'm not making it a lock. Iowa State has done, I mean, they've done so well at home against the spread and against, you know, winning teams historically. Their record against at home against winning teams against the spread has been really good. It's just my concern is that a lot of those spreads were of the 30-point variety because Iowa State's always been so bad for the last few years. And I don't know how that trend's going to carry now that they're being, now that they're less than a touchdown favorite. Now that Vegas is kind of catching up to it. So,
but they've played good pass defense against everyone.
They have. No, I know. I took Iowa State plus 6.5. I'm just not making it a lock.
I gotcha.
They actually last week having played, like, even though they lost to West Virginia, the nature of that game is West Virginia is pretty good at making any game wide open. The nature of that game staying sort of within the 20-point range, being that it, what it was like, gives me even a little more confidence in Iowa State. But ultimately, in a perfect week, this is not a game I would have wanted to play. But it's just it's time to grow up and tuck in my shirt, you know, throw on a tie and go to work.
Right. Time to leave the nest and fly.
Tom, do you want it or you want me? I got a lot left.
I've got another lock.
Okay.
I've got two more locks.
All right. Let me go ahead and get this one then. We got
you go.
I'm so conflicted. These are two of my favorite teams in all of college football, and really two of my favorite sports teams in any sport ever. Wake Forest is playing at Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. These two teams have been against the spread world beaters. Wake Forest 6-2 against the number. Syracuse 6-1 against the number. But we see Wake putting up a big number against Notre Dame. You think Syracuse, you think Dino Babers, even the over-unders getting bet up to 64.5. I love that. Give me Wake Syracuse under 64.5.
I love it.
Yeah. This is a spot where I'm looking and I'm seeing that Syracuse is going to end up kicking a lot of field goals and maybe missing some field goals because of Wake's defense. And that really sets up well for me, I think. So I couldn't take a side, too torn on, because I love Wake Forest and I love Syracuse. So give me Wake Syracuse under 65.
Here's some fun, unexpected things about Syracuse that just go against what the common perception of them is, because with Dino Babers and that offense and what they do. Now, obviously, he was only there since last year. But in Syracuse's last 12 home games, unders come through 11 times.
Yeah.
In Syracuse's last 12 ACC games, the unders come through 11 times. Syracuse is an under machine because that line, especially since Babers took over, that line gets bet up because people think they're going to score a ton of points and then give up a bunch of points. And it's one of those teams where you sneaky go against the public, fade the public, take unders in Syracuse games, you'll get rich.
That's what we're trying to do. That's how we climb back in this.
A defensive team than people realize. They got some pretty good players on defense.
Yeah. Actually, you know, here's another trend for you, Chip. 18 of Syracuse's last 22 games, period. Home, road, conference, non-conference, under.
Wow.
Smashing. And I do. I love this. This line's been dancing around right now. I'm looking at it. Syracuse minus one. But yeah, Wake and Syracuse combined 12-3 against the spread. Crushing it. Can't wait to watch this game. I'm going to be locked in. Y'all can enjoy Georgia Auburn. I'm all about Wake Cuse. All right, Tom, give me a lock.
My next lock is back in the Big Ten. Iowa's heading north to Wisconsin to take on the Badgers after a huge win over Ohio State that we've discussed already. And I'm taking the under 46. I'm not comfortable at all with the spread in this game. I would not be surprised at all if Wisconsin completely pastes Iowa and covers it. But I'm much more comfortable with the under because this is an Iowa team that has been fantastic at home, as we have seen with what it did against Penn State, where Penn State needed that last second touchdown to beat it, and then kicking the crap out of Ohio State last week. Iowa on the road, much different story. They're averaging 31 points a game at home and only 21 points a game on the road. That's a huge disparity. And this is a Wisconsin team that's been very good at home, and its defense particularly is it's allowed only 14 points per game at home. And then just the history of this series, not exactly high scoring. So even though 46 seems like a really low number, I think it's very safe. I think that the winning team's going to have 24 points at most in this game.
What'd you end up taking for expert picks?
I believe I took Wisconsin.
I took Iowa, and I feel terrible about it. I don't know.
I'm not really comfortable on either side of the spread. I think Wisconsin. I feel like this could be a 24-10 Wisconsin cover in that kind of fashion. But it's just I still think that Iowa's better than that spread.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just feel really, really comfortable with the under.
Five of the last seven in this series in Madison have gone under.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The last two have gone under. It seems like this is just like from now until eternity when Iowa plays Wisconsin, just bet the under. You may lose a couple, but you're going to usually win. Like, doesn't matter who's playing, what the personnel looks like, just bet the under, Wisconsin, Iowa.
In fact, I mean, not joking around, if you just bet the under in every single game, every single week, you'd make money over the course of your life. Every year.
Every year?
Maybe not every year, but most times, more often than not, under.
Under.
If you just bet under all the time,
all right,
you will win.
So you got Wisconsin, Iowa, under 46. Can I wreck your world with an over?
Oh, yeah, you can.
All right. How about Tulane ECU?
How dare you?
Over 64.5.
Whew. That's a lot of points.
ECU's an over machine. Hey, listen to this. So ECU, when it has played an offense with a pulse, gives up 50 points.
Yeah.
So does
Tulane's offense have a pulse?
I'm ruling out BYU, which put up 17. I'm ruling out Temple, which put up 34.
We got a new Temple out there, though. They're scoring points these days, the last 2 weeks.
But they weren't on October 7th.
No, you're right. I know.
Yeah, but they gave up 52 to Houston. They gave up 63 to UCF. They gave up 61 to USF. They gave up 64 to Virginia Tech and 56 to West Virginia. Tulane and ECU, this sucker. And it's like a close line, too, and the game's in Greenville. Yeah, give me that over 64.5. I'm going to buckle up for a point explosion.
I just always get concerned about option run teams with overs over 60-something.
But Tulane, listen, when you're running against traffic cones, you don't get stopped as often. The clock stops, but the offense isn't.
I don't disagree with the pick. I just, That's a high total for two bad teams, in my opinion.
Okay,
You're hoping for the who was it Tulane just put up a million on?
Tulsa.
Tulsa, that's right.
Yeah,
62 points in that one. Yeah.
All right. So sticking in the American Athletic Conference, I'm also taking the UCF UConn under 64. UConn unders have been incredible to me. So that's just a principal play. I don't have a lot of good backup other than that. I mean, how many points do you think UConn is going to score against UCF? You're the UCF man. Are you taking UCF this week, Barton?
I'm not. I don't know if this is, makes me a fair weather UCF backer. They didn't take care of me last week.
I thought this was when we were going to be coming
income,
back.
You don't jump off when it dips. You keep, you stay the course and you get your money back. So, yeah, I picked them in the expert picks, but 38 points, man, that's so many.
So many.
many points.
I can't remember what the exact number was, but I believe that this year, underdogs of 30 points or more are covering about 62% of the time.
And I wonder what that number is when it starts getting up to 30.
Probably a lot higher.
I mean, they barely covered 38 last week against Austin Peay, or 2 weeks ago against Austin Peay.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm not betting against UCF ever, but that number just was, that's a little scary. So I'm just going to back off it this week. Maybe get back on the train against USF.
All right. So I've got one left. Tom, what do you have?
I have one left as well.
Barton, and you're cleared out?
No, I'm not. I'm desperately searching for another play that I can just, that I can cruise to a victory on. So y'all make yours, and I may have one more at the end.
Tom.
Well, my final pick is also in the American Athletic Conference. I am taking SMU +4.5 at Navy.
I like it.
Navy the last month has taken quite a downturn. It is not very good team, and SMU is kind of trended the other direction, even if it's not completely winning all of its games. And also, Navy's pass defense kind of horrific. And while SMU's pass offense is not like a huge big play threat where, they're chucking down the field and running four verts and all that kind of stuff, it's more of like a West Coast spread, I think, is the kind of fun way to describe it. They're really efficient and they're really good at it. And I just don't see Navy being able to stop Cortland Sutton and stop all the SMU receivers and stop the SMU offense, period. And SMU's defense, while not good by the standard definition or the above average definition, is still good enough to at least limit Navy's offense in my mind. So I really like SMU +4.5. And honestly, I don't mind it on the money line either.
I do think it's unpatriotic for you to pick against the Service Academy on Veterans Day, but you can,
I didn't realize that it was Veterans Day. So now I do feel
that's a tough karma pick right there.
That's a real tough karma pick.
Now I feel kind of bad.
I think you've also got SMU in a potential letdown spot after getting up for the big UCF game. But your comments about Navy's defense are spot on.
Can't trust
Navy's defense. Not with all those free range SMU wide receivers running around. All right, my final pick. I do not have any faith in any Jim Mora coach team ever. And I don't care if Josh Rosen is coming back. Arizona State has not been a bad football team, and I don't understand why they are an underdog going up against UCLA. I got Arizona State +3, and I think that if you're looking for a fun money line play, that might be your on-the-field pick right there.
Yeah, I didn't get that line either, man.
Yeah, it opened as a pick'em.
But it opened as a pick'em and it's moved.
That's what I'm saying. It opened as a pick'em and it's moved to UCLA, and I was just like, all right.
I mean, I haven't seen like where has Arizona State looked like a really bad football team this year? Like you lost to Texas Tech. You lost to USC, you lost to Stanford by 10. I mean, UCLA has looked like a horrendous football team no less than 3 or 4 times this year. I feel pretty good that Arizona State's going to be able to go take care of business here. Right? Am I crazy here?
I mean, the only reason that I didn't play this one is I look at it and it's like, what? That's just bizarre. Like, I just don't get it. Like when I don't when I don't understand the line at all, then I get too scared of it. So I'm totally on your side here. I'm just too scared of.
Is that a what does Vegas know? There's a reason why the buildings are so tall and shiny type thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd like to see. I mean, the only thing I can find says that all the public is on UCLA, but I haven't seen like a recent calculation on that. So, but
actually, what I see is that 64% of the public's on Arizona State.
Yeah, so that's a reverse line. Mm-hmm. Scary play there.
I gotta stick. I gotta channel my spirit animal, Paul Johnson. We're just gonna stick to the offense. Arizona State is a better football team. I'm getting points. I'm gonna take them.
There's just some UCLA millionaire out there who put $1 million on the Bruins and totally tilted the line.
And Vegas is like, well, hell, we don't know either. So
yeah, we gotta move it.
Quick, boys, add 3 points.
All right. So are we all out? Everything, Barton. Last chance to.
I'm gonna throw another log on the fire.
Yes.
I'm sitting here debating which one to play. I'm debating between Missouri -11, which I think is what that line's at now, and Kentucky +2.5.
Oh, Missouri, don't take Kentucky.
I don't know, man. Vanderbilt. Kentucky's a better team than Vanderbilt. And I don't understand why Vanderbilt's favored in this game. And then there's the Missouri line where that's like a pretty big number for a team that just 4 weeks ago we thought was like the worst team in the SEC.
Hey, nah, but you said in July 7 or 8 wins.
I said they thought they could get the 7 or 8 wins. Right. But yes, I did think that they had a chance to be decent. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with
both of them.
Both of them. I'm going to go with Kentucky +2.5. I'm going to go with Tennessee. I'm going to say Missouri -11. So that gets me up to 7 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I could see, I actually have more confidence in the Kentucky play because I could see Tennessee figuring something out. That just seems like a lot of points. But ultimately, it feels like how are they going to score and Missouri's going to score. So yeah. Give me those two lines.
That's awesome.
This week is going to be my downfall. I feel it.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I have another one.
Yes!
Yes!
All right. What you got?
How many is this for you, Tom?
This will be 6. Number 6.
This is a fairly big week for the process.
This
big,
is
big card.
It's a late addition to the process. Northwestern -4.5 against Purdue.
Mm.
I just think that Northwestern the last few weeks has been playing better and kind of becoming the team we thought it was. And Purdue, after a great start, has plateaued and is kind of started heading back downhill. So I think at home, this is a game the Wildcats should win. It's a night game, so it's kind of a big deal for them, you know. And Purdue isn't exactly a tough, huge competition. So I think the Wildcats are going to win this one.
I like that pick a lot.
Yeah.
I was on Northwestern early in the year, and I jumped off the train right as it started getting going. And I think now is finally time to maybe dive back into Northwestern. So I like that
play. We should call them November Stern.
Close. It was close.
Northwestern right now is anchoring the Big Ten. They need Northwestern to win out.
They really do. Wisconsin needs Northwestern to just start kicking everybody's ass.
So
they
do.
I mean, Northwestern is 25th right now in the playoff rankings, and that if they can keep winning and hang in there, then that really helps Wisconsin out a lot.
If Northwestern is 9-3 with wins against Michigan State and Iowa, they could creep up to like top, but in that 15-20 range in the final college football playoff rankings.
Stay woke moment. Barry Alvarez is in that room.
Not anymore.
He's still Barry Alvarez.
He's still Barry Alvarez. Yes, 100%.
He's still pulling lingers. Some strings behind that scene, pumping up Michigan State and Northwestern. Just like, oh, you guys, you got to rank them higher. You got to rank them higher. They're, you know, the college football playoff Illuminati are at work making sure Wisconsin has the resume if it comes to it.
Didn't Gary say something about that? Like a reference to like when Barry was in the room and on the committee, he was like, you can't tell me that some of the other people in that room were not intimidated by him when he's like, no, Wisconsin.
Right.
Like, you know.
Fighting for the undefeated conference champion, you know. Like, Barry was big on that train.
Like,
and rightfully so.
Like Barry 100% was a big reason why Iowa was number 3 in the college football playoff rankings going into the Big Ten championship game. He had to lock it in, make sure that they were going to get a spot. All right. Well, this is
We bounce, though, are there any other big games we should check on, like TCU Oklahoma?
Touch it. Is that what is that say everything about our confidence in making a pick there?
Right.
Like we've come out here with like 19 picks so far, and no one mentioned TCU Oklahoma. I picked Oklahoma. I don't like. I don't know. Where's your head at, Barton?
I can't remember who I picked in the expert picks, honestly, but as the weeks, I kind of like TCU here, just as they play good defense, you know, and Oklahoma doesn't, and, you know, it's a Kenny Hill versus Baker Mayfield situation, which is always worrisome, but I don't know. It's almost like a gut instinct that TCU is a better team.
Maybe, but I don't think Oklahoma is going to lose in Norman twice in one season. That's just like the probabilities of that are not high.
Yeah.
In expert picks, I took TCU, but then the line was at TCU plus 7.5. Now it's at 6.5, and I'm not nearly as confident. But last 5 years that the game's been played in Norman, TCU's covered 4 times, and the road team has covered 4 of the last 5.
All of our experts are on TCU.
Because we got it at 7.5.
That is a big number.
Yeah, 7.5 is a pretty big number.
For two teams,
they're supposed to be really good.
That reeled everyone in with that hook on the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I expect this to be a nerve-wracking game. And, I mean, at the end of the game, who do you trust? Kenny Hill or Baker Mayfield?
You know what I think you should do?
What?
Take the under.
What's the under at? 62?
Yeah.
I like that. TCU's defense is good enough to be you can trust TCU's defense to be able to power that underplay, I think. Let's see. We talked about Washington State, Utah. Does anybody trust Utah?
I don't really
I don't trust that line at all. I don't understand what's going on with it.
I'm also super scared of Washington State playing at Utah.
Yeah.
But I really want Washington State to win simply because I want to make sure that no matter what happens on Friday night, that the Apple Cup is everything. So I'm rooting for Washington State to win the game.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, that one scared me. Weird line. I know Utah's a really tough place to play. I think Washington State's a better team.
Utah hasn't been good the last couple weeks.
No.
Hey, they blew out. Who they blew out last week? They killed somebody.
Colorado, I think, wasn't it?
No, it was.
Oh, it was UCLA. UCLA doesn't count.
You're right.
Doesn't count.
You're right.
That's like, you know, beating up a small child. It's like, yeah, it's a win, but is it really?
As you can tell, big fans of UCLA right now on the podcast. Florida State, Clemson.
Pro Bruin podcast.
Clemson.
I like Clemson there too.
Mm.
It would seem like two talented teams, button heads, and close game, and Florida State's lost every game close. But I think, to me, the more I thought about the matchups and how Florida State is limited on the outside at wide receiver, and they're beaten up front. Their offensive line is not very good. The combination of Clemson's defensive front being able to pressure James Blackman and wide receivers not being able to make plays for him, to me, makes Florida State too one-dimensional, and I think Clemson has a statement game against Florida State.
Wow. I don't know. Obviously, so far from a lock. I think I picked Florida State in the expert picks, but that's like...
I mean, it's a pretty big number.
It's at 15 and a half. I just... I feel like Clemson is... I don't know if this Clemson team is built to blow out a team with the raw talent of Florida State. Even if Florida State's a hot mess right now, I don't know if this Clemson team has a 21-point win in them right now. I think they're more than happy to get out of here with a 10-point victory or even a 2-touchdown win. Just ride their defense. I mean, doesn't it feel like that's what this Clemson team is?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, this team doesn't blow people out, and I get that. But they didn't really, like I said, I've said this before, they didn't really blow people out last year either.
Yeah.
Except for like a couple exceptions, and maybe this is the game where they step up and say, okay, people are starting to doubt us. Here we are. We're going to start looking like a playoff team now.
Boston College going to get the home win against NC State?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel better about BC than NC State, honestly.
I do, too.
I know.
That's such a strange thing considering where we were just 2 weeks ago.
Bro, Georgia Tech, too. The noon slate has a couple of live dogs at home with Boston College and Georgia Tech both at home, both 3-point underdogs. If you're looking for some... early slate on the field money line plays, shop around, see what you can get. Bees, Eagles, you get both playing teams that are coming off of losses in like game of the year type scenarios. Could be a hangover.
What do we got for Illinois, Indiana, kids?
I've learned my lesson with Indiana, picking them last week.
So you're going to pick Illinois?
I'm not picking. I'm not touching that.
Illinois is an 8-point dog to Indiana at home.
Neither team has won a single Big Ten game. Not a one.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm taking Illinois.
Let's go! Let's go!
Wait, Locke?
No, oh, hell no. Okay. Jesus.
I thought
come
we
on.
Super late Locke here.
No, I mean, maybe if I was up like 30 games in the standings, I would start messing around to do something. But no, I've got ground to make up.
The Michigan overtrain, I can't take it even at 45 because Maryland is starting the athletic trainer at quarterback. They are down to number 4. And why does this always happen at Maryland? This is twice in the last 5 years that Maryland has had ridiculous attrition at quarterback. Yeah, Bortschlager's
so
out.
Who is literally the quarterback at this point? What's his name? Do we know?
1 second.
This is the point early in the season. I would have known this because I probably would have watched every snap of the Maryland game just because I couldn't get enough football. And now I have to like start honing my attention.
Is it Ryan Brand?
Oh, wow. They're playing Ryan Brand?
I think it is.
I mean, he's a decent
player. Yeah, he played last week.
Athletic, thick kid, but he's number 4. Wow.
Yeah. Right. So he's no Max Bortenschlager.
Oh.
Ryan Brand technically is the 5th quarterback of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Like, I don't know what they do to their quarterbacks during the course of the week. They're like Maryland students like walking around with sticks and hitting their quarterbacks as they walk across campus. What the hell is going on?
I hope not. That wouldn't sound like fun for anybody.
No.
All right. Well, I think that's everything, man. That's a loaded card. Listeners, I hope you're enjoying this on your holiday weekend. I hope you get spicy. You take some advice. We've had I've had a lot of listeners reach out. They're excited about this slate, and we're excited to deliver it to you. So you can follow him and yell at him about his picks at Tom Fornelli. You can follow him over there, yell at him about his picks at Barton Simmons, and I'm right here with all the correct picks as my last place standing lets you know, at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.